Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage. Crisis triage. You know what triage is, right? Many episodes of MASH began with the triage scene, where Hawkeye is looking at a group of incoming wounded to determine which soldier would get immediate attention and which ones would have to wait or who were too far gone to help. Crisis triage is when you are overwhelmed with multiple crises and you have to sort them out strategically to know which must get your full and immediate attention. The rules for crisis triage are a little different, so let's think about what issues require immediate and drastic attention. And while none of us should be surprised that Trump is once again trying to navigate his campaign flight through a huge amount of flack, a significant amount of it coming at him from his own party, what might surprise some of us is the amount of resistance he's getting from elements within his own Christian patriots' support. How many God and country Christian patriots are joining the Move On chorus? Now, here's a biblical assessment that you will find intriguing and I hope helpful. I think this will cover today's show, but you should know something about NewsGuard, and you should begin praying. God will expose and explode this spiritual stronghold Satan uses to choke free speech from the American body politic. NewsGuard is a news censoring organization that targets specific influencers and seeks to destroy them. You probably never heard of them. I hadn't. They are self-appointed arbiters of truth. Their approach is to identify organizations that disseminate information that is not politically correct. And they tell you right out loud in front of God and everybody that what that means is the information you're disseminating does not line up with the government narrative. But they don't come at you directly, you know, like YouTube or Facebook will do. They attack you indirectly. Here's an example. JW Player serves internet news and information organizations with bandwidth to air their product. PragerU uses their service. JW Player contacted PragerU and said the university had 1 month to remove their content from their servers. No explanation was offered. When asked why, JW Player explained they do not do business with organizations labeled by NewsGuard as bad actors spreading misinformation and or hate speech. So PragerU looked into NewsGuard and contacted them and asked, what did we do wrong? The response was a list of demands. Here is what you must do if you want to be green-lighted like CNN and New York Times. And then they provided a list of demands. You know, the things that will put you on the naughty or nice list at NewsGuard. One, you can't talk about the COVID vaccine. Two, you can't talk against any COVID lockdowns. Three, you cannot discuss any possible alternate remedy for COVID. And the list goes on. The director of PragerU mentioned that there were some other things, but that essentially it comes down to this. NewsGuard set themselves as the content controller for PragerU. They discovered PragerU was a nonprofit and demanded they reveal their donor list. What? And they were told they must reveal who signs off on content. When asked by what criteria do they decide what is misinformation, it came out, and I wasn't surprised at all. In fact, I've been saying this for a very long time about these news, these fact checkers and so on. NewsGuard said, if the information is not endorsed by the WHO or CDC or FDA and so on, it is automatically deemed false, period. So it's the old Lenin school of thought control. If you don't hear it from the government, it's not true. The current president of New Zealand, by the way, said that quiet part out loud. Quote, if you didn't hear it from the government, it isn't true, end quote. Really? Governments never lie, of course. I mean, what government would lie that called their controlled media outlet Pravda, which is Russian for the truth. That's a Russian squirrel that lapped up a bit too much vodka. This drunken Russian stumbled and spilled his vodka. I don't think they do this anymore, but when I visited back in the early 90s, they would roll out their tanker trucks filled with vodka to these neighborhoods. The drunks would line up at the tanker and, you know, thump their jugular with their finger, holding out their bottle to be filled with the drug that made communism bearable to them for another day. Anyway, I caught that from Prager just a few minutes ago, and I've never heard of NewsGuard before, so I thought I'd throw it out there and get you all praying against that wicked and unreasonable arm of the Nimrodians. All right, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Crisis triage. Triage is generally used in a medical context, and it is the, quote, assignment of degrees of urgency to wounds or illnesses to decide the order of treatment of a large number of patients or casualties, end quote. And by extension, it is the, quote, process of determining the most important people or things from among a large number that require attention, end quote. The triage doctor assigns degrees of urgency to cases. A crisis triage attempts to sort through an array of crises to determine which are the most urgent and essential to address. The rules guiding crisis triage are similar, but not identical to medical triage. When faced with multiple crises, the temptation is to address the most immediate, or the one that has the greatest amount of felt impact on us personally. If you don't stop and think it through, it's easy to find yourself jumping from one crisis to another almost indiscriminately, just reacting to the next thing to break into your awareness. It can become a game of whack-a-mole, you know, which will allow the enemy, unfortunately, to control you and keep you off the real issues. Look how much attention, what's her name, that gender-confused basketball player that got nicked in Russia for drug smuggling and possession of an illegal substance, and finally was sentenced to 9 years in a Russian prison. She's LGBTQ, hates America, and has made that sentiment public, and so she's a darling to the Biden administration and the close to 30 million people who voted for him. Think about it. Don't have time to go into that in more detail. And close to the 15 million that actually support him in some active way, and among whom maybe 200,000 actually believe that he's doing a good job. I saw a meme featuring a light bulb with this question. How many Democrats does it take to change a light bulb? Answer, none. Biden just says, I fixed it, and they all sit in the dark applauding his achievements. I'm telling you, folks, this is the sort of joking around I would hear when I sat at meals in Russian households, the kinds of things they'd say among themselves. The only difference then is that they dared not publish it publicly for fear the KGB would be knocking on their door. But give Biden a chance. Yeah, give him some time here. He's not done yet. He's working on it. He's giving the FBI some field practice right now in preparation. Well, you get the idea. So Biden trades a genuine bad guy, an arms dealer, who earned the moniker Merchant of Death, you know, the sort of guy that arranges arms deals for terrorists. Of course, Biden makes this fellow look like a piker by comparison. You think this menace to the world ever delivered an $85 billion arms deal to terrorists for free? No way. Only Biden could pull off something like that. What's that here? A group of demons applauding in the darkness. Okay. So this Russian dude was caught, tried, convicted, and put in prison. And he is a friend of Putin's, by the way. So Putin demands him in trade for the LGBTQ gender-confused basketball dope-smuggling chick. And then immediately attends an anti-gun event. After Biden agrees and does this, he attends an anti-gun event spouting about what he's going to do to take guns away from Americans. Huh, what's he give them to the Taliban? He wants to take them from... Anyway, maybe the plan is Biden takes Americans' guns from them, and then he and, what's this guy's name, the arms dealer called the Merchant of Death? So maybe Hunter will reach out to him, and they'll work out a deal with, you know, a 10% kickback for the big guy. You didn't think Biden made that deal for the doper chick, right? She wasn't trafficking in the stuff Hunter uses anyway. So totally out of his league. So anyway, okay. I'm actually making a point here. In fact, I'm making about 20 of them all at the same time. Now, all the news is agog at this trade, and understandably, the conservatives are insulted by it, especially in light of the fact that Biden has overlooked, really ignored, the cries of the family of American Marine Paul Whelan, who, while visiting Russia 4 years ago for a friend's wedding, was taken hostage and kept now under, I think he's in prison, on false charges of espionage. So leave the Marine, give me the dope smuggling ball player, and I'll give you Putin's buddy, the Merchant of Death. And oh, by the way, I need to be at an anti-guns for Americans rally. So yeah, I'm very concerned about all these guns being held by Americans. Let's let the arms dealer go. And you get the point. And all of this is to say, yep, I do totally get it. How can you ignore such a story? Pregnant with so much meaning and importance. It makes the 2020 theft of the election and the defiling of the sacred right of consent in our representative government seem like something that occurred, well, I don't know, on another planet or something? Old news. Yeah, almost as old as Hunter's laptop. And far easier to digest and fume over than the amount of outrage that's demanded by things like, well, James Baker, right? Ex-FBI, ex in quotes, FBI agent planted in Twitter back in the day, you know, BE before Elon, who was a direct contact between FBI and Twitter in the collusion between Biden's campaign and Twitter to control the narrative, to bury the Hunter Biden story, and inflame Trump's reluctance to give up his tax records, which, and here's another media favorite, has proven to show that Trump, his financial controllers actually, holy gaslighting, Batman. I hope you can process this, especially if you're a Trump supporter. They actually read the IRS law and they saw a way to provide some benefit to their executive employees. A little whisper here, something all the corporations do. But anyway, they found a way to benefit their executive employees without incurring a tax burden. I'm almost afraid to say it. So look, Trump supporters, get a bag to breathe in just in case you panic and start hyperventilating. I usually give that advice to my Democrat listeners, and we've got some, to the brain masseur. But today, I'm afraid my fellow Trump supporters might need to prepare. Trump's accountants actually used the tax code and conspired. I mean, they talked about it to each other. It's like they said, hey, according to this provision, if we do it this way, we can structure a package and that we can give these perks without creating a tax burden on them. Let's pull this big conspiracy on. You got to give me a break. You see, these are the stories we need to focus on, right? Wrong. We need to do crisis triage daily. Stay focused on the real story. Democrats have stolen our country from us, and we need to stay laser focused on getting it back. Nothing is more important than correcting the 2020 steal. Every Republican who pretends we can just move on from that is, in my opinion, exposed as part of the, well, the whole scam, the whole swamp, the whole deep state apparatchiks is what they are. Messing with the right of the people's consent in government, that's sacrilege. So long as they get away with stealing the presidency from Trump and from Kerry, by the way, then America is in hostage to a pack of duplicitous traitors. I get it. It is impossible to ignore these moles that pop their head up, and the temptation to go after them with your hammer is very hard to resist. I mean, I just spent my entire first segment dealing with it. But let's you and me keep our eye on the ball. We win or lose entirely on one question. Do the American people actually have a voice in our elections? What happened in 2020 clearly says no. And what happened in 2022 clearly says it's still no. We must restore the people's right to elect their representatives, and it is the only way to keep them accountable to the people. and we must restore the right to exercise our right of consent fully informed. We must demand fully informed consent in our elections. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the Spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to GodsWar2020.com. Devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheibach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. A Christian evaluation of Trump. I discussed this last night on my Comfort and Counsel for the Present Distress. It was number 562 for anyone looking for it. You can view it on our Lighthouse Baptist Church Facebook page, and you don't have to be a have a Facebook account to look at it. We expected the loony left to start firing their flak at Airship Trump 2024, and we knew the deep state embedded rhinos would join them. Now I'm talking about McConnell and Cheney and Paul Ryan and Mitch and, you know, the rest of that pack of 12 traitors that joined the demented Dems to repeal DOMA and replace it with a bill that contradicts a social construct that has endured thousands of years and upend the meaning of marriage, and create a law that will certainly be used to make criminals of conscience among believers by forcing them to, for one example, perform weddings for homosexual unions contrary to their religious convictions. Well, it's coming. But I'm surprised at the number of Christian conservatives who are turning their flak on Trump and joining in the piling on this man has had to endure ever since he took that fateful ride down his elevator, or was it an escalator? Anyway, so I thought I should at least begin to address where I stand on this issue. The first thing we have to contend with is that knee-jerk response from some that if you support Trump as a Christian, well, then you're among the deluded, brain-dead bobbleheads that Trump spoke of when he said something to the effect that he could kill somebody and his base would continue supporting him. I chose this one because it provides a perfect example of exactly the sort of thing that I object to from Trump and what I object to coming from his detractors as well. It's a twofer. Let's begin right here. That was a politically dumb thing to say. You think? Now, I don't have the proximity to the president to ask whether it was something he actually believes. It did come from his mouth, and Jesus told us to pay attention, because what comes from the mouth originates in the heart. However, it's not always the case that when a statement is traced to the heart, you find there, for example, in this case, the arrogance you might expect at that source. You might find cynical amusement, which might be as bad, in your opinion. Yeah, dumb thing to say. But it might not have been something he encourages, only something he reflected on with some hyperbole. We've all used a little bit of that along the way. On the other hand, like I said, I don't have the proximity to the president to ascertain this matter either way, what his motives were and stuff like that. But either way, as offensive and likely as insulting as this kind of thing is to his followers, whatever it says to me about Trump as a man does not begin to rise to the level of what Biden's actions as a man and as a politician reveals to me about the nasty devils that maneuver in and through that man. So, am I a relativist? Or in other words, does Biden's outright evil character outweigh the apparent arrogance of Trump? Biden's outright evil character actually makes no difference at all in my assessment of Trump's apparent arrogance. Trump's arrogance remains intact. It's not a bit diminished by Biden's hellish character. You see, I can vote for an arrogant man, but I cannot vote for Satan. I'm not saying I know Trump to be arrogant. I don't know him that well. And I think you got to know him a lot better to make that kind of a judgment. I know he says many things that would make him appear so. He once said he had never asked for forgiveness. Well, that troubled me deeply. And the question was answered in a religious context, by the way, when he made that statement. I hope he has since repented of that ridiculous notion and humbled himself to Christ as Lord. Now, there have been many indicators that he has humbled himself to the lordship of Christ. He has publicly referred to his own subordination to King Jesus more than once, by the way. And in fact, I've never in my life heard a political figure in America speak so directly to his personal acknowledgement of Christ Jesus' lordship as Trump has. In personal statements, which actually I value more highly, but also in public declarations, as in his Easter declarations and Christmas statements and so on, his record of defense of religious liberty is out there for anyone to see. But he does challenge Christians who are sensitive to cultural expressions of pride and social decorum, carnality, pragmatism, and these are things that really trouble me too, by the way. But I hope I can differentiate between these carnal weaknesses, I've got some, and the weightier matters of the law. I plan to do a series of these, so I fully expect any who wish to do so will engage me and offer counter arguments. I'm listening. I really want to have this discussion, seriously, and we need to have it now. But let me leave you with this to think about for now. Listen carefully to how Jesus differentiated between good things, important things, biblical things, commandments from God, and he differentiated it, nevertheless, from the critical things, what he called the weightier matters of the law. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." And he further described these types that get focused so intensely on important matters, to be sure, but to the point they forget the weightier issues, the things that really matter most to God. He called them blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Matthew 23:24. Now, sometimes I would read a Trump tweet, and along with many of you, I'm sure, cringe. Oh boy, that's going to give our enemies a stick to beat us with. And so a Trump supporter walks through the gauntlet of the Pharisees, piling on, beating them up with the latest zinger from the master zinger-in-chief. And many of us, like my wife, just actually totally enjoyed it. But of course, she did marry the brain masseur, so I guess she has a taste for succulent sagacity, flavored by a touch of spicy sarcasm and a flair for insightful satire. Har har. But some of the things go past that, like what I mentioned earlier. When he made fun of a paraplegic, sorry, I can't truck with that. Or when he uses foul language, yeah, not presidential in my book. But if you pile these things in the scales, the offenses, you know, the carnal snipes, the apparent boasting, which when taken in context, I think I could provide significant mitigation against most objections. But in the manner we usually do for friends and family and champions for our cause, oh yes, we do give some room for the picadillos of our heroes. But there's a line you can cross. But if you take all these and pile them on one side of the scales in your assessment of Trump, and then let's look at the other side. Let's consider the weightier matters of the law, and as far as this analogy goes. Like the fact that Trump told the truth, whether or not it was popular. And he kept every single promise he made to the vote. I mean, already we've way outbalanced the other issues, in my opinion. And the promises he made were righteous ones, by the way, just and yes, merciful. Put on the side of the weightier matters the fact that, unlike any president before him, he promised and delivered on placing our embassy in Jerusalem, recognizing Israel's historic claim to that great city. And he negotiated, in view of that, in the context of that event, listen, he negotiated what is absolutely the most amazing peace deal ever, ever for the Middle East. He made America great again. And foreign powers actually respected, even if they hated him. Contrast that to what we have with Biden. In terms of social graces, beside the bumbling poor old Uncle Joe act, we can legitimately say he never did write a mean tweet that I know of. Of course, he called well over half of the American population terrorists in a Nazi-esque manner. Anyway, do I need to go on from here on this? I don't think so. The contrast is obvious. I'm out of time. But really, Biden is a plagiarist, a thief, a traitor to his country. He has used political office for personal emoluments, which violates the Constitution. I mean, come on, man. The weightier matters of the law so far outweigh the paying of tithes, as it were. Something we all consider important. In fact, Jesus said, these ought ye to have done. So yes, these things, ought to be some growth there and changes. Okay, I know. But the weightier matters, that's what matters most. So I'll pray for Trump that he will become more sensitive to the sensitivities of his Christian supporters. But more importantly, I pray he will keep on being substantial on the things that matter most. He tells the truth and does what is truly right for the American people and just and righteous. And he is an American and not a communist. That's good to know. He is independent from the swamp. And I have to stop there for now. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see that they are on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net. That's, the two words put together into one. You know how that goes. Find the contact us button, send me an email. Or you can leave me a message on our listener response hotline at 1-805-314-2114. God bless you, my dear friend. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com. The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com. The spirit of Antichrist has risen in our land against the spirit of Jesus Christ. What side are you on? Choose wisely. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.